So we're like talking about supernatural stuff, right? Like, so we're engaging in what it means to be kind of activated in, I don't know, the supernatural, like the prophetic, the healing, like watching God do some tangible things. And it's kind of odd that I'm the person that's standing up here, because I grew up like in a pretty strict like Christian home where actually, for most of my life, I didn't believe any of that stuff existed. I thought it was something that happened a long time ago, back when the Bible was written. And my grandpa was a pastor of our church, and I remember sitting down with my grandpa, and we were talking through, or sitting down with my grandma, pastor's wife, and I was like, well, what about these gifts? And it was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we were talking about, like, what is the prophetic? What about workers of miracles? And we'd go through each line in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of all these different gifts that exist inside of the church. And my grandma just had like tongues. Like, she had like a natural explanation for all of it. It was like, oh yeah, tongues is like people that know a lot of languages. And the prophetic is like, you know, people that preach. And, you know, the workers of miracles, like that has a little bit more to do with like doctors. And though at one level, I actually don't disagree with my grandma. Like, I think all of that's probably kind of true, that God can supernaturally gift us in our current work, from doctors to mechanics, you know. I also think there was a part of it that she was missing. Like, sometimes God comes in very tangible ways, and it's like he comes from eternity and he steps down into the present, and you just can't deny, like, wow, like that's really God. It's good stuff. You know, all of life is response to him. All of it. He pours out his goodness and his abundance, and all we do is just give it back. You know, I picture Adam, and like when the very second that God breathed into his nostrils, and the very next moment I see Adam giving it back, like just breathing. And there's something about the simplicity of life that actually is the same as like, there's a miracle in that, right? And it's actually a worship response, like just doing the thing that you do and doing it well, loving your kids, loving your church, loving your family, you know, being a good employee. Like, there's a part of that that's just like, yeah, I'm just giving it right back. Because that's why we're here on the earth. Like, so good. There's so much good stuff. Like, God is so good. Like, he really is. I mean, he really is. There was a time I didn't believe that, you know, and I can understand, because like sometimes the tragedies that hit our life are just so big. And I believe that God is there like grieving with us. I do believe that that's a part of his nature too. But I don't blame him for those things, right? Like, he didn't create destruction. He didn't create death. That was like the enemy's, like, that was his strategy, was to take the thing that God did that was good and just to completely distort it. That was his strategy from the beginning. So that when we see the problem, or we see that mountain, or we see that debt, or we see whatever that is that's in front of us, it's so easy to focus so much on that we forget that, like, God didn't create that. God didn't cause that. You know, God is at war with that. Like, if you want to look at the life of Jesus and you want to see, like, what it is that God is like, don't look at the sickness, don't look at the disease, don't look at the mountain, don't look at the problem. Look at Jesus. Do what he did when he engaged those things. And what did he do? He said, be cast into the sea. He walked through life and he just started moving stuff out of the way. I realize there's so many questions that come with that. Well, why is it that sometimes God shows up in really tangible ways, and why is it that sometimes someone gets healed and, you know, this other person doesn't? And at the end of the day, the only thing I can say is I really don't know, but I'm okay with that. Like, I don't have to get stuck on my offense, right? I don't have to get, like, I think about sometimes, like, when you think about, like, the when Jesus would heal people, like Jesus at the Pool of Siloam, and you know, there's a crippled man that goes into the pool and, you know, and Jesus heals that man. I mean, then do you ever think, like, what about all those other people? Like, what about all those other people that didn't get healed? You know, like, our philosophers and our theologians and our newscasters would go to the pool, they would look at it, and they would try to point out all the things that didn't happen, and they would want you to surprise you by all the pain that existed in the world. And I don't want to downplay that, because pain is real. But Jesus wants us to focus on what God is doing, not on what God isn't doing. I want to invite my team up. Sorry, I just get like, so many good things. I'm going to invite the team up, and here's what I want to do. I want us to remember that I care a lot more about like us just kind of activating, having fun. This is an environment where we get to play. And it's exciting because like God just wants to love on us. Like if he's proven anything through bringing his son to earth, like he just wants to love us. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, I just want to read it real quick, because I want you to know that what we're doing is a biblical thing. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, it says, pursue love, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may have the gift of prophecy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters the mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Is that cool? Like, how many of you guys grew up in a tradition where when someone gave a prophetic word, everyone in the room got scared? Can anyone relate to that? Where it was like, oh no, here comes a rebuke. God's going to see all the bad stuff that's in there, but he's not going to see any of the good stuff that's in there. Like when you look at 1 Corinthians 14, like don't get me wrong, those things can be revealed, but the nature of the prophetic, what's those words again, are upbuilding, yeah, encouragement, and consolation. So we're just going to have a little bit of fun here for a little few minutes. And then I don't know if I'm going to get to teaching tonight, if that's okay. We're just going to maybe just keep doing stuff. So, all right, I'm going to pass it on.
So I had something during worship, and it's not necessarily that I'm aware of for any specific person, so it may be for a few of you. And actually, Tim kind of said a little bit about what the Lord was actually telling me, but I got this image. First off, if you are coming up against this obstacle that you feel like you've been coming up against, and like you've just been hitting it and hitting it and hitting it, but nothing's happening from it, I think the Lord, he just wants you to see what's past it. He wants to reveal a new perspective to you. And the image that he was giving me was like a karate guy who probably has some strength, but the reason that they're chopping through 10 pieces of wood or a cinder block or something like that is not solely because of their strength. It has to do with their perspective and where their focus is at. Their focus is not on how hard they're going to hit whatever that thing is. The enemy is focusing on how many boards there are or how hard the cinder block is. But the Lord's perspective is what someone chopping through that who knows what they're doing focuses on, which is actually the follow through. And they actually see their hand all the way at the ground after they've already gone through that. So the Lord just wants to share with you a new perspective. He wants to share with you what your purpose is, your passion is, that promise that is past whatever that thing is that's blocking you. So just be encouraged in that and know that it's not all about your hard work, but a new perspective of the Lord will kind of bring you that kind of revelation.
I'd like to know, is anyone in here you feel like good things don't happen to you. Like you just always feel like there's something that, I don't know, it gets in the way. Like anytime there's something good on the horizon, it falls through. Feel free to raise your hand if there's anyone else. Okay, I want to speak in it a little bit. During worship, I felt like God was, he gave me some specific words. And this, when I grew up, this was a thought that I had, that good things don't happen to me. And 9 times out of 10, guess what happened? All of those things fell through. And good things didn't actually happen. I want to share something real quick, and this comes from the end of Luke chapter 2. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And I want to point out the fact that Jesus grew in favor with God. And what that means is God was on his side, and he knew it. And as Jesus grew up, he realized that God was on his side. And so for those of you that feel like good things don't happen, I want to release something to you right now, my own testimony. I one time heard a story from a dear friend of mine that got all of their debt paid off supernaturally. Somebody wrote them a check and paid off their debt. And I heard this and I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to start praying for this in my life. And I started telling a bunch of my friends that, hey, I have this friend that got all their debt paid off. Isn't this insane? And I said, I'm starting to pray for this. I mean, I believe God is a good God and he wants to give us good things. He doesn't want us to be enslaved. And this person that I was talking to, they looked at me and they said, yeah, but I feel too selfish to pray that. He doesn't need to do that for me. And I looked at them and I'm like, you don't understand who you are and you don't understand who God is. So if that was you that raised your hand, I want to release my testimony. I want to pray for you. God, I pray that you would show us that you are good, that you are good yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that we can grow in favor with you. And what that means is that we just have to be ourselves. And so thank you for accepting us, thank you for receiving us, and thank you for loving us.
All right, I'm going to take a stab out there. Is there any athletes in here or someone that's really passionate about like sports ministry? You? Okay. I won't make eye contact in case you're like, oh, no, stop. No, I just got this like really strong sense while we were worshiping about the desire that the Lord has in sports ministry for whoever that was. If it's you, that's awesome. If it's someone else in here, it could be the whole church. I heard the Lord saying the phrase, I want to reclaim practice fields, stadiums, and locker rooms. And so I grew up and I played sports through high school. It's a thing I love. Today we were watching college football. I love that place. And I think there's a platform that the Lord has given you, or the Lord has just given people in here, athletes, to use that in ministry. And it's a space that I think a lot of times we hear the negative, we hear the garbage that happens, the darkness. And so I literally saw this practice field of darkness and then this huge light just shine on it. And then I saw these athletes just claiming that ground as like, that's God's, that's the kingdom. So if that's for you.
Okay. Tiffany's a sheer family. Yes. And the one on the end, what is your name? Brooke. Brooke, are you the oldest sibling? Okay. As soon as I saw you, I don't know, she reminds me of our niece, Abby. And Abby is the oldest of all her siblings. She has 3 younger sisters. And so immediately I'm like, oh my gosh, she looks just like Abby. And the cool thing about my niece is she just got back from Africa, and she has paved a way for her younger sisters by just her relationship with the Lord and experiencing freedom and who she is and knowing her identity. And she's just like carved out this path that her siblings can follow in her footstep, and even breaking like generational chains. How would I say that? But even surpassing her parents, like what her parents could dream or do. So that I just wanted to speak that over you, that you're going to, one, pave a way for your siblings and just kind of set the path for them to follow. And it might be hard, but it's going to get easier for each sibling under you. And also, I just pray that you surpass your parents, like not in a bad way, but just in dreams and adventures and doors open for you that'll just, yeah. And that people will come around you and just support you in that. And Brooke, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Is there anyone in here that's been praying? This seems really silly, but has anyone been praying for fun? Like, just, yeah? Yeah? Over there?
Yeah.
You've been praying for fun? Okay. You've been praying for fun? Okay. Can we do something real quick? All right. I want to pray for people that feel like they've just been praying for the Lord to like have some fun with them. When we were worshiping, I kept feeling it like just like someone needs fun. Someone's been asking for it and they don't know where to find it. And then I'm going to do another call out. Rhonda, is that your name? Rhonda, I want you to pray with me and anyone else who feels like they've been receiving just like joy this week, whether in the workplace or even just tonight. If you feel like you've received a bunch of joy, we're going to just like throw it on them. Are you cool with that? Anyone else that's cool with it? Are you guys comfortable with that if we pray for you?
Father God, we just we give you this moment. We give you this exact moment right now. We proclaim that everyone that is here right now is here for a purpose. And that you have something good for all of us. Lord, right now I just want to lift up the joy that you've given some of us. The fun that we're having tonight. The fun that you've given us this week. And Lord, we take that as testimony and as truth. And we give that to people like Annika right now. Yeah. Who just are just asking for it, God. We pray that you just download fun and joy. Because, Father, your kingdom is fun. Father, your kingdom is so much fun. You desire us to laugh. You desire us to jump around, to be silly, to hug each other, and just to do all these things, Lord. That's what you have for us. So we just say that any darkness that might be filling Canada's mind right now, that it goes away in the name of your Father. And it just goes away, and that you fill her with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we just want to have fun with you. You want to have fun?
Yeah.
If anyone else wants to throw it on, just throw it on.
Woo!
Father, we just bless Hanukkah this week. We declare the spaces that she has, her home, her school, her family, her friends. We just pray that joy fills her. And not just fills her, but radiates outside of her. So that when people see her, they see this joy, they see this fun, they see this spirit that that we can only receive through you, Father.
Anybody have a problem with their left lung? Here, that's really specific. Are you not? Okay. Back there? Who? Yeah. Can we just, I don't want us to have to do it. I feel like people that are around them, are you okay with people just laying their hands on you and praying for you? Yeah? Do you have two?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see the second. Can someone help me out? Jerry. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah. All right, and the whole church just agreed with us. I just release supernatural healing right now to your lungs. I just pray that kingdom alignment would come upon you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Whoa. Whoa. Yeah. We say, breath of God, fill those lungs right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, would you just give them new lungs, restore everything that has been taken or is no longer working. Yeah. When we just say more, we say more, we say more. People around them, you can start praying too, praying out loud. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, breath of God, just flow over them. Yeah. Yeah, that like pneuma, breath of God. Are either of you feeling anything at all? Yeah, yeah. Was it harming your breathing before? Was it harming your ability to breathe, or what were you feeling before? Yeah, how are you feeling now? You feeling good? Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There we go. That's what we have to do. Yeah. Thank you, Father. I felt like I felt one other thing that I guess is, you know, sometimes when you come into this and it's like we're going to teach on supernatural activation, you don't know, like, has anyone had any experience in supernatural? But I really get the sense that a lot of you have a foundation in the Holy Spirit, that like there's a good amount of you that have knowledge of who he is and maybe even like flowing in the gifts. But I felt like maybe there were some of you who had have maybe had wounding experiences with the church that caused you to hide some of those gifts, maybe, because it was more safe for a time. I feel like I just want to pray over you, if that's you. I don't want to make you, like, stand up or anything, but I'm just going to pray. Because I felt like the Lord said there's something really okay with safety and, like, needing to be safe, but then I also felt like there's a time to, like, live in your full identity and all of the gifts and all of the things that he's been given to you. So I'm just going to proclaim this over the whole church so that people don't feel like you have to be exposed at all. But Father, I just proclaim that this would be a safe space, that gifts would thrive here, that healing would happen here, and not just physical healing, but also emotional healing, that people would feel safe here. Father, would you just minister to people in comfort and let them know that their gifts here are needed and they are safe. And we just say right now that we unlock those gifts. We unwrap the things that have felt like they had to be hidden in order to make you palatable or make you likable. We say that you are called into the fullness of who God created you to be. And we say even like new anointings and new mantles on the gifts that God's deposited within each and every single one of you. Yeah, let me just seal up that work.
Yeah. Okay, so I was trying to wait for it to get more specific and it never did, so I'm just going to go for it because I'm the last one. So I was just really sensing like family, and all of you are a part of some sort of family. That's how you're here. But I think God may be wanting to focus maybe on parents right now. So if you are a mom or a dad, just raise your hand. I knew it was going to be almost every single one of you. That's why I wanted to be more specific, but it's all right. Well, everyone else was praying for the whole church, so I'll pray for it too. So I just am feeling just a sense that like parents, like God wants you to know that he is so pleased with you, that he... that he just gave you your sons and your daughters very strategically, and whether they're like really, you know, well-behaved and always do the right thing, or they're like a little bit more rambunctious and, you know, difficult to handle, those kind, you know, whether they're super young or all grown up with their own kids, I just want you to know that God gave you those children because his love for them has been shown through you, and you're a good mom, and you're a good dad, and your kids know that you love them, even and all of the mistakes that you've made in the past, that God has redeemed them, and even if it still seems like it's a little shaky, God is redeeming those mistakes. So just know, like, the pressure's off. You don't need to be perfect. God has redeemed all of your mistakes. That's it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Let's give them a nice... Hey, here's what I love about this stuff. It's like, we're not performing our way to God, you know? It's not like we're doing anything to try to earn favor. I mean, the truth is, we already have the favor of God. All of us in this room have God's favor. Like, he paid for that 2,000 years ago. So we're not working for anything. We're working from something, right? We're landing on the promises that, like, we don't have to earn love. We spend so much time trying to earn something that's already been given to us. When we are so busy trying to earn something that's already been given to us, we're living under a curse. You know, think about it like this. Like, there's so many different interpretations of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but the quick end of it is, like, one of the things that the serpent tempts Adam and Eve with is by telling them that they could be like God. Some have interpreted that as, like, pride, you know, like, oh, they want to be like God. But in Genesis 1, it tells us that they were like him, right? They were created in the image and the likeness of God. The problem was someone told them that they weren't already. They believed the lie that they weren't already created in the image of God. When you work for something that you already have, you're living under a curse. You are accepted. You are loved. You belong. You have destiny on your life. You were chosen for a unique purpose. You're not disqualified. I used to have major problems with all this stuff. Like, I was on my way, you know, I was working through, like, academia, I guess, in the Christian world or whatever, and I started out, got my bachelor's at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, then I went off to Fuller Theological Seminary to get my master's. During that process, I was kind of on track to get my PhD, and then I was just going to work in the university setting, just kind of parsing Greek verbs and Hebrew letters and those kind of things, which is a good thing, but that just wasn't what God really had for me. And when I was at seminary, when I was at Fuller, I had this crazy encounter with God. But before then, I had observed from a distance people who used the gifts and stuff like manipulatively, you know? And sometimes it was just me misunderstanding them. You know, you hear the words here that Paul says about the gifts, and he says, you know, it's consolation, it's encouragement, it's those kind of things. And so when people would give up here, we heard some general words, right, for the congregation. I can immediately feel, I mean, I can feel it. Like, people are like, well, that's a general word. I mean, it's just a natural thing, because that's how we're conditioned to think, you know? And maybe it is a general word. You know what? Maybe I made it up completely and it wasn't from God in a very direct sense, right? But the truth is, God gave me the ability to speak an encouraging word over you. And because he gave me that ability, it's from him. Our words are a gift. I mean, they really are. Like, we just overthink it sometimes. And sometimes that's what gets in the way for us to actually start walking in this stuff and growing in this stuff, like in the gifts, because we so overthink it. I mean, we just do. And there's probably some good reason, because maybe you saw someone on TV throw someone on the ground, and that didn't feel good, right? Or maybe you saw someone asking for a lot of money, and that didn't feel good either, you know? Maybe you saw someone blame someone else because they didn't get healed, and that didn't feel good, and it should. All of that's true. All of that shouldn't feel good, because it's a distorted way of operating in the gifts. And so for me, when I would observe it, my first experience was I was like 14 years old, and I went to this play in our hometown, and I don't know if you guys do this here, but, well, I know you don't do it at this church, but it was like one of those kind of like evangelism plays where they're trying to get people won over to Jesus, and they go up on the stage, and these guys are acting, and, you know, they're looking out in the crowd. They're acting, and it's like this, like, end of the world type thing where people are going to die, you know, and it's like kind of scaring people. You know, the idea is, like, you scare them about how bad the bad news is. If you scare them so much about how bad the bad news is, then maybe they'll want the good news. We've kind of grew up with this strategy around us. Like, you know, just scare them to death and then they'll love Jesus. You know, that's a good, and hey, you know, some people, whatever it takes, I guess, to find Jesus. But for me, whatever, I was sitting in this thing and about halfway through, we're all sitting there, you know, I'm in the crowd, they're acting, and it's like, it's right at intermission, and the lead actor, Gabriel, the angel, comes up and he says, all right, everyone, intermission. And this guy comes into the back of the room and he's got a gun in his hand and he walks up and he's like, deny Jesus right now. And then he fires the gun and you're like, and I'm telling you, everyone in the room's like, should we jump on him? Should we like run out of the room? The guy falls to down to the ground. All of a sudden, like, it's this heavenly scene that comes up on the stage. But, and then right after that, they said, okay, does anyone want to receive Jesus right now? So it's just like, I have no idea what, this is horrible. So all these people come up and they're like, yeah, I want to receive Jesus. And so he starts like yelling at these kids, or these teenagers, like in tongues. And he's like, sha-da-da-da-ba-da-da-da-ba-da. And I'm like, this is like the first time I'd ever seen anything like this, right? And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And all of a sudden they're like pushing people over. One kid like fell out, you know, all these weird things are happening. And I'm like, I have no grid for this. And what I vowed that day, 14, 15, whatever age I really was, I have no idea. It was my vow was, okay, either this is all legit or none of this happens. You know, you kind of get trapped in like the either or thinking, you know, it's either this or that. It's not like, well, maybe some of it was, but it was a little bit of like a manipulative strategy, you know, like because we get trapped in the either or, we never actually access the truth that's really there. Does that mean, am I too abstract on that one? No, you see what I'm saying? Like, and so I thought, like, either it happens or it doesn't. And it's not the way it really works. It's not that it either happens or it doesn't. It happens, it's just we have a lot of choices we can make in the delivery. The few years later, like, I remember sitting at just a really big vineyard church, and I'm sitting like in the middle row, and this lady gets on stage, and just like what we did right here, she yelled out a bunch of words of knowledge. That's what they call that, like a words of knowledge. And it was, we're talking a room of like 5,000 people, you know, and she would say things like, does anyone here struggle with lust? You know, like the whole back row of guys stood up. Yeah, anyone here have a toothache? I mean, you're gonna nail it every time, right? But you know, what I've come to find out, that's actually not wrong. It's just, I don't know if she's hearing from God or just calling out some things that she figures people are experiencing. And I can't tell the line, but what I've done is I've given up trying to figure it out. It's exhausting. You know, like sometimes it's fun. Let's just come to this with childlikeness. Like, we can easily not be deceived. I mean, it just takes a little bit of thinking. Like, I mean, sometimes we're so worried that, like, what if this exact scenario isn't exactly verbatim from God? And then it, like, turns us off completely to something that God might meet us in that moment. And, you know, honestly, what's happening in those moments is we just kind of take ourselves too serious. There's a lot we can't figure out. I'm not saying turn off the brain. The church has said that before. That's a horrible strategy. Keep your brain on. But have some fun. Keep your brain on. Have some fun. So I for years, like, you know, going down this academic route or whatever, when I was at Fuller Theological Seminary, I had this encounter with God at a Bible study that I was annoyed at being at. And I'm sitting there in the Bible study, and this guy is just, like, talking for, like, an hour, very similar probably to what you're experiencing right now. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I just want to be out of here. And all of a sudden, you know, a group of the guys put their hands on me and prayed. And what I was going through in that season was a lot of skepticism about God. Actually, I was starting to doubt whether God existed or not, because I just really didn't believe that he showed up. The Bible was like a bunch of like really good ideas. You know, good philosophy. Jesus was a good philosopher. And then I had an encounter with him. The power of God came on me, and I fell to the ground, and I just felt like God was doing surgery on my heart. You know, he was just loving on me, speaking words of encouragement. Like, and it was just awesome to experience God like that. Had you told me, hey, if you go to this Bible study, you're going to fall on the ground, and you know, I would definitely not have went. I mean, there's no way. You couldn't have convinced me to go. But it was just like, I was open and desperate. And that's probably why I went that night. But I had a belief that at that point. And the belief was like, yeah, okay. Some people have this gifting. Some people can walk in like kind of these things, but most people won't. You know, so I put it kind of on the people that were in that group and thought, oh yeah, this guy's the anointed guy. But, you know, it's something that I could never personally carry. Until about 7 years later, I lived in Mount Vernon, Ohio, Brittany and I did, and I had two jobs. One was I was working at a church locally, and then the other job was I was working on college campus. And my job at the college campus was I taught some courses, and the other piece of that was I was basically like a dorm dad. You guys, like a RD is what, a resident director. And so my job was to kind of babysit all the freshman guys. And it was a lot more fun for me than it was for Brittany. But during that time, like it was probably what I could say in terms of the history of that specific church and that school. It was by far the darkest time that I ever, it was almost like there was a cloud of darkness that was hovering over the whole city. And there was two events that had manifested earlier that year. I know that there's kids in here, so I'll edit a little bit. But one student decided to take their life, and it rocked. When you have a small Christian campus, like, it kind of rocks the whole campus. And when they took their life, like, it just caused this trickle effect. it kind of a ripple effect through the campus where I had students in my office literally every week just, you know, kind of threatening their own lives. And it was dark and it was heavy and I didn't want to be there anymore. And then, you know, at the moment that there was kind of a glimmer of hope at our church, there were some, like, you actually probably saw it on the news. There were some severe murders that had taken place in our town. I won't go into details of that, but it was really heavy. I mean, really heavy. And it was like the stuff that you would see like on a horror movie. You know, it's just one of those things where you would wish no community to go through. And some of the people who were intimately involved with the families were at our church and really good friends. And so our church went on to the school campus, and where some of the students had lost their lives on this campus, we kind of functioned as the counselors. And it was so odd because it was just like you could feel the darkness. Like the fall of 2010 will for always be kind of etched in my memory as a really, really dark year, you know. And it was during that darkness, though, that we started crying out for God. And we're like, man, God, we know you're actually good. Like, or we want to believe at least, maybe that was the most honest place, we want to at least believe that you are good. And we would, like, our worship during that season was raw. It was honest. Like, it was unedited. It was just like, God, here's where we're at today. And at moments, it was dark because that's the place that we found ourselves in. We had a friend, I invited a friend to come to our church and speak. And so when he was preaching on basically spiritual warfare. You know, that there's an unseen realm out there and there's a battle that we don't see happening. And so he was talking about kind of the demonic realm and all the things that happen there. And I don't want to give too much of attention to it, but this is a real story that happened. So he's there preaching and someone in the room kind of started manifesting some demonic presence. And you know, she had turned to someone in the room, started growling at them, and it was like, what in the world? And we just felt like, okay, if we didn't believe that this stuff was real before, that we would never walk in it, we need to figure out now what we're going to do. And so I devoured every single book I could read on the topic. I asked tons of people, like, what do you do with demonic stuff? And in that desperation, in that hunger, in that searching, we realized that, wait, like, God has more than equipped us to take care of this stuff. Like, you know, it's kind of freaky at first, this, but when you realize, like, actually, we all carry the power of the Holy Spirit in us, if we believe in him. Like, and the dark, I really genuinely now believe that the dark forces that are in the world, they just can't stand up to the light. I mean, they genuinely can't. And so then all of the topics start, what is the prophetic? What is the imagination? What is the, you know, and I'm starting to like research all these things. And then finally this happened again. I found a student came to me in my office, and he was threatening to take his life. It was the story, just repeat. And this student had been in my office many times before, and I'd taken him to the emergency room to kind of, you know, get psychoanalyzed and figure out what was wrong. He's there in my office, and I'm going to teach you guys this here in a second. It's just a real tangible way to pray for healing. He was there in my office, and I sat there, and he came, like, what had happened was, let me back up, he was addicted to prescription drugs. So when he came back to school over Christmas break, he was shaking because he was detoxing off prescription drugs. So he wanted, basically what he was doing was he was wanting to get some relief, and he really didn't know how to find it. So he came into my office shaking. And so I'm sitting there, and it was this simple, I swear to you. I mean, I just, you know, I'd been reading books, and I'm like, it's got to be simple. I went up to him, I was like, okay. I was like, we're going to call the counselor after we're done. But first, I want to try something. And this may be completely weird. You know, I just was like throwing up like I am right now verbally. And I was like, if it's okay, I'm going to put my hand on you. And I'm just going to say a couple things. And then I'll call the counselor after that. Is that okay? He's like, yeah, it's fine. So I put my hands on him. And I was like, I just waited. And I was like, okay, God, use my imagination. Give me some pictures that I can just kind of say over him. And I just started saying, okay, I see you covered in light. Very vague picture, but it's a common scripture. And, you know, it's a common picture of God in scripture. And so I'm like, okay, I see light around you. Just using my imagination. I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that Jesus, you will go into the depths of his heart and just start speaking stuff to him. What was interesting about that was I never thought I could ask God to say something to someone else. You know, I always thought I had to do the work. You know, I thought, man, if I'm going to be a healer or whatever that is, I'm going to have to do all the work. I'm going to have to, like, conjure up enough faith or whatever it is, and then, you know, healing will come. But it wasn't that at all. I said, Jesus, just speak some stuff into his heart. I said, okay, now, Father, will you just come and just kind of till the landscape of his heart? I saw a picture of a tractor kind of going over his heart. I was like, will you just till the landscape of his heart? Just pull out the weeds. And then all of a sudden, I said this phrase. I was like, if there's anything in here that is not of you, I command you in the strong name of Jesus to get out. It was that calm. I didn't scream. I didn't spit. I didn't start yelling over him in tongues. I just said it that calm. And then I waited, and then we were done. And then I looked at him, and at that moment, I could feel like just kind of this numbness on my face. It was the weirdest thing, but it was like my face got numb. And I realized, like, when I encounter God in a really tangible way, I can feel him, like, here on my face. Can anyone relate to that kind of thing? Yes. Thank you. Yes. Does someone get, like, shaky hands? Shaky hands. You guys are the shakers. Yell out something weird that happens. This is fun. What do some of you guys feel? What's that? You cry. Yeah. That's legit.
My face is really hot.
Okay. Hot face. What's that? You get the tingles? You get hot hands? Face hot? That's cool. Yeah. That's fun, right? I think that's awesome. Like, there's so many different ways, and God has his own language for you, and it might just be peace, you know? It doesn't always have to be on the body, but sometimes you can feel it in your body, and it's kind of fun. Anyway, so me, my face was like, whatever. And so I pulled away, and he was like, whoa. And I was like, what? You know, I'm scared. I'm thinking I'm going to get fired because my school doesn't believe in this stuff. You know, I'm like, and I'm going to be like the weird guy now. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm not going to do drugs. He's like, I'm not going to take my own life. Like, I'm completely at peace. I don't know what it is that you just did, but I feel so much better now. And then he was like, sorry. I was like, I'm remembering it in real time. It's like the funniest thing to verbally process on a mic. He's like, it was the weirdest thing. He's like, when you asked God the Father to go into the depths of my heart and speak, he was like, what he was speaking was in like a different language. He's like, I don't understand that. He's like, but I could start understanding it in English. I was like, that sounds kind of like tongues in the Bible, right? And then he went on to say, he's like, and then when you said that thing, get out of here, he's like, it was weird. He was like, because it was like this thing came up inside of me and it was really scared and I kind of felt it. And then it was like, whoo, and then it was gone. And so do you believe that that was like a demon or something like that? You know, I'm like, I'm actually being really PC at this point. I'm like, do you perhaps think that there might be something in the unseen realm that was operating inside of your spirit? And he's like, I didn't think I believed in any of that stuff before. He's like, but yeah, there was something that was in there that wasn't from God. It was the weirdest thing. We spent like an hour and a half talking about that 2 minutes. And here's what's interesting. We all carry that. I read a book right before I prayed for him. And it was a book that just helped me unlearn some stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, there's not like a method to prayer, but sometimes we have to remember like, oh, wow. Like, for instance, our imagination in the Western world, the world in which we live, we have downplayed the imagination so much that like we equate imagination with make-believe. We just think that if something happens in our imagination that we're making make-believe. But you know how powerful the imagination is like in life? Think about this for a second. Right now, I can guarantee that the majority in this room could think about someone that has hurt their feelings and they could recall it in their head, but they're not thinking abstractly about someone hurting their feelings. They're picturing a scenario and they're imagining this person talking behind your back, you know, doing all these kind of things. And all that is happening in your imagination while at the same time it's affecting your vitals. It's affecting your entire body. That's the power of our imagination. And something that's really important for us to know is there's not a single part of us, not 1 ounce of us, that God doesn't want us to use for his glory, including our imaginations. Our imaginations aren't make-believe. Marketers and neuroscientists realize that our imaginations are extremely powerful. Right now, I can close my eyes and I can imagine my wife sweeping the floor in our house. And as I'm picturing her doing that, I can get like a sense of gratitude as if she was actually doing it. The same neural nets that are inside of my brain are firing as if I was watching her do that. That's how powerful our imaginations are. Of course God would want us to use our imaginations for his glory, right? He wants us to use everything. Okay, we're going to play again. And then, let me look at the time. Okay, one thing I want to say about God himself. When I fell into this stuff, like when I started to realize that way God shows up in tangible ways and he manifests himself like here in the room, my picture of him started to change. And I just want to read a couple passages because I really think they kind of speak for themselves. But I want to read a couple passages. And I just want to ask you if you've ever, I just want you to think, have I ever actually thought this way about God? This is Jesus. This is wisdom. Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, when it uses the word wisdom, sometimes it's referencing shortly, like in an easy way, Jesus. So there's this scene where Jesus is called wisdom. There's this scene in the Bible where wisdom is at creation, and it's like participating with God at creation. So let me read this. It says, when God made the firm skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress its command, when he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, and delighting in the sons of men. I want you to picture that for a second. Have you ever seen God delighting over you? Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you in gladness. Other translations will say, he will dance over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. That's like close your eyes and picture God dancing over you. That is like a crazy image. That doesn't sound like a God who's always displeased with me. Like the key to empowered living in his presence and overcoming our own sin and all that stuff is getting the right picture of God. Like he's just really good. Like the picture that Jesus gives us of God is like a picture of a dad who runs out to meet his wayward son and throws him a feast. You know, like it's like I'm thinking that there's times where God is actually happy. And the second I say that in a group like this, people get so offended. Wait, God's happy? No, he's disappointed in me. In a book, G.K. Chesterton years ago wrote about the joy kind of that you see in a little kid. And his point is that, like, what if God had kind of like this eternal appetite for youth? Like, what if God was actually kind of like a little kid who's always present in the moment? Like, think about this for a second. When you're a little kid, like, you know, no one has to tell you to use your imagination. No one has to tell you to have fun, right? You're always present. It's like, I remember going to my grandma's house, you know, and just like picking up a stick and acting like it was a sword and just having a lot of fun with it, you know? Like, the power of the imagination as a kid is just amazing. And I remember, you know, like when mom would come home from the grocery store and she had like, you know, like a bag of food or whatever, I would always like dig to the bottom to see if there was any candy in it. Anyone ever do that? Like, did mom bring candy home? Yeah, see, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, G.K. Chesterton starts to talk about, like, what if God is actually like the little, like us as little kids, you know? What if he like is like youthful and happy? This is one of the things he says. I love this quote. Because children have an abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again, and the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. Is that like a great phrase? I mean, peekaboo, like, come on. When you get caught in a peekaboo game with a kid, you're wondering like, okay, how long am I going to have to play this game? The parents are looking at you. You're looking back at them like, I just don't want to play anymore, but I don't want to disappoint you either. But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again. To the sun and every evening, do it again. To the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but because he has never got tired of making them, it may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. And then this is the best quote. It would take us somewhere else, so I'm not going to go there. But, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. Isn't that a cool quote? You see, what we believe actually affects the way we encounter God. So if we believe that God doesn't speak to us, then why would we want to communicate with him? If we believe that God is actually super far away, then why would I ever try to draw closer? You know, like if I believe that God's nowhere near me, then I wouldn't expect a miracle from him. Proverbs 23:7 says, so as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. But see, the problem isn't what God thinks of us, because that's good. And we know that. The problem is, what is it that we think of us? Our biggest temptation in life is not to sin, but it's the failure to see our worth. Romans 6:11. I like totally broke from my notes like an hour and a half ago. This is what Paul says beautifully. So you must consider yourselves or reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Like, if we want to overcome the low view that we have of ourselves, see, this is what I'm arguing for here is like, we can have a high view of ourselves because God has a high view of us. You know? We live in a culture that wants to like, oh, I remember at a junior high, like, oh, you're getting a little cocky, so I need to bring you down to earth. You know, do you guys remember those days? And that's not the way God thinks of us. Whenever we view our past, whenever we view our life apart from the blood of Jesus, we are living in deception. My sinful past no longer exists. Sin's power to destroy us is obliterated by a superior reality, forgiveness. Whenever we remember our past apart from the blood of Jesus, we empower the enemy. The devil's the one that keeps record of our past. But our agreement with God empowers us too. Our agreement is the focus and activity of faith. And the fruit is freedom. Faith grows by agreeing with God from the heart. Religion rubs our nose in the past to keep us humble. And the fruit of this is humiliation and shame. I grew up in churches where the main idea was that we should keep an awareness of our sinful past to keep us humble. This is cruel. This is the cruelty of the religious mindset. For it requires us to keep something in our own minds that is not in God's. True humility is to walk in unearned forgiveness. We don't forget our past, but we remember it through the blood. Okay, we're gonna go after a couple things. We got like, what, 15 minutes or so? I don't know. I'm gonna invite the team back up. What? Okay. The team is gonna walk around the room and help, I guess is the best way to say it. I'm just going to throw out some potential ailments. I don't know if it's from God. I have no idea if it's from me. But I'm just going to throw out some stuff. And if it applies to you, just raise your hand. And then I'm going to just teach you. I'm just going to teach us how to pray. It's real easy. I'm just going to teach us how to pray. Okay. Does anyone here have lower back problems? I mean, that's right. Yeah, exactly. It's like common, but it's good. Okay. Please, will you put your hands up again, please? Thank you. Okay. Everyone else in this room is a part of the ministry team. Cool? So what I want you to do, if you guys are okay with someone putting like their hand on your shoulders or something, ask them permission. So if you're around someone who's raised their hands, ask them permission. Can I put my hands on your shoulder? Everyone gets to pray. All right? Now we know what the problem is, right? The problem is back pain, lower back pain. So here's what we're going to do. Close your eyes for a second, and I don't want you to focus on the pain that's in that person's body. And if you're the person receiving prayer, this is the time for you to receive prayer. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to agree. You don't have to say amen. You really don't even have to be open. Okay. If you're praying for someone, I just want you to picture God. If you want light to flow from a lamp, what do? You plug it in. So I want you to contact the all-powerful God. I just want you to picture him moving through your body. Once you start picturing him, I want you to give thanks for that. Just thanks for the picture. Now, all I want you to do as a group, everyone who had a picture in their head, I want you just to speak that picture over the person that you're praying for. Go ahead and do that. You don't have to be quiet. You don't have to yell either, but you don't have to whisper. We don't have to beg him. We know he's got good gifts in store for us. Just simply contact him and gently picture God healing that ailment. Ask God to infiltrate that pain. When you're done praying, just ask them if they're feeling anything. If you felt something, say that you felt something. Tell them that. Go ahead and ask. Ask them. Hey, if you received prayer and you didn't feel anything, that's okay too. You just be honest. No one's trying to like act like something happened that didn't. If you felt something, say it. If you didn't, say it. We're just experimenting, right? We're having fun. All we're trying to do is just be a channel for God's Spirit to work through our lives. That's all any of life is anyways. When we tip a little extra, like on, you know, to the waitress at the restaurant, like We're just trying to be faithful, right? Like, I don't know, sometimes we overthink it. Like, that's exactly what this kind of thing we're trying to do, is just get you used to, like, practicing and participating. Okay, someone else yell out an ailment. Just, okay, wait, I got an idea. This is a fun game. We're going to play another game. Everyone close your eyes. Someone yell out a body part. I heard arm. Do you have a picture of an arm, a specific arm, right or left? You had a picture of the left arm? What's that? You have a bad arm. Okay, well, we can pray for that, too. Does anyone else have a bad left arm? Right arm? Okay, we'll go. We'll take it. Well, you know, God likes arms. Bones? Well, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Bones and prostate. We'll get a crew around here. Okay, what else? Knee? Is everyone yelling at stuff that kind of applies to them? Does that... Do you have a, which knee is yours? Which knee is yours? No, you, that's great. God loves people. Yeah, I want, will this feedback if I go over here? Okay. Close your eyes for a second. Picture body part. Right knee. Was that someone right knee? Left knee? That's all right. We're trying here, right? Okay, let's get a crew. Let's get a crew right here. We did this exercise in a group. You guys keep praying if you're praying. We did this exercise in a group about 2 years ago. And there was a girl who had HIV. And when she went back in for the test, like, it had significantly decreased in its effect on her body. Like, it was like the next day. I prayed for a guy. Actually, a group of us prayed for a guy. He got shot in one arm. And then in the other arm, it was like completely broken. And then when we put our hands on the one arm that was completely broken, it just completely got healed. Like, just completely came back to full motion and everything. The arm that got shot didn't. I have no idea why that happens. Spirit of God, we just cry out for you. If you're not praying around someone, just start praying for the people that are being prayed for. You can pray from your seats. Like, God, we just pray for your goodness. Just everyone just say it out loud. Just pray. Pray that God will just restore the prostate, God. Heal the arms. God, we just ask you to love on your people. Just pour out your love, Jesus. God, we ask you to use our prayers and our hands, Lord, just for you to show off. Just for you to show off, God. Let's start hearing some stories of what God's doing.
So I've been messing around with this back problem for probably 3 or 4 weeks now, and it just kind of felt like a sciatica thing. I had pain going through my hip on this side, and like in the morning I'd wake up, and you know, your kid comes running into the room, and you just want to like jump out of bed and wrestle him. And I was like, okay, just 1 second. Okay, but just now, I mean, it's been slowly getting better. I've been taking, you know, ibuprofen, anti-inflammatories, and that kind of stuff. But I haven't been able to do a lot still, and it's really frustrating. But just now, you know, Jerry prayed for me, and one of Tim's team prayed for me, and there was this really pretty intense heat. And it's funny because their hands weren't even on like where it actually hurt, but it was on my back. And it was good enough. It's good enough. But I couldn't do this. The best I could do was like this, and I can do all the way around now. So yeah.
Romans 4:5, it says that when the more that Abraham gave glory to God, the more his faith grew. How does that work? That's weird, but let's just give him glory for what he's doing. Let's pay attention to what he's doing. And so, God, we thank you for what you're doing, and we ask for you to do more. Yeah, I don't care how old these testimonies are. I want to hear some things that God has done. Come on up, or if you can.
No, I experienced healing in my lower back probably soon after Tim and I were married, and we were going to this church in Delaware, and I ended up, they had a special speaker coming that night that had the gift of healing, healing ministry. So I had been suffering for some time, just was really in pain that day, and I remember I could not wait to get to church, like, because I knew God. I just know God's big enough to heal, and I knew he was operating those gifts. So he called people down that had back pain. And I remember him, like, right then, and they are just like pointed to me first and had me come up on stage. And as soon as they had laid their hands on me, I went out, like completely out on the floor. I mean, I have done that. I've seen people do that, but it was like the completely a God thing. And I remember just laying there. I couldn't get up, and it was this warmth and tingly feeling all over, and that I have never had any pain since. So I know God's healing is real. Yeah.
Come on, there's more. Get on up here.
All right. I think a lot of you guys know mine, but there are a few that do not. About a year ago, you know, I was way skinny. I was down to 163 pounds. I'm 205 pounds now. I was 163. My wife says, let's go into the doctor. So we went in, got some blood tests. They took 30 vials of blood from me, tested for everything. Got the test results back, found out that I had a large deposit of iron just depositing in me. Dangerous levels, it was depositing on my organs, kidneys, you name it, it was there, okay? Next step, I had to go to a specialist. It was actually my mother-in-law's cancer doctor. So he says, Ken, I'm sorry, I have to take 3 more vials of blood from you to check out and see where we could, the source of this. He didn't find anything there. He says, Ken, I got to give you 3 more blood tests. I'm sorry, but we got to check for a chromosome, a number 17, whatever, to find out where this is coming from. Anyways, that you know, the treatment for this is give blood for like every 2 weeks for a couple years to get this iron out of your system. And then after that, once every month for the rest of your life, basically, and it could kill you. Anyways, I'm waiting for the test results back from the doctor. I was working at the time. I missed the call. The nurse gets on the phone. She says, Ken, your blood work is normal. There's no reason for you to come back to me any longer. Sorry. I was like, thank you, Jesus. That's a miracle.
The Bible says that, 1 John says that the reason why Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. Right? And for 2,000 years, it's interesting because the church has put the blame on God for something that the devil's created, right? God didn't create this stuff. He uses everything. He uses the worst things. He doesn't create the evil in the world. All right, more good news. Come on. I don't know why I'm doing this come on thing. Good news. Yeah, come on, let's hear it. Yeah, anything. Unless it's like the opposite of everything that we've been saying.
In 1999, God audibly spoke to me and said, believe me for a house. Excuse me. And I stood on his word, 2 Samuel 7:27, which says, O sovereign Lord, today you have revealed to your servant that I will build a house for you. And I was living in a house that had holes in the floor, broken windows, no garage door. The garage was leaning. If I had gotten 30,000 or 40,000, that would have been a miracle. But because God said, and I had to have 94 homes and a parking lot all signed, I got $250,000 for that house. And I moved into North Ridgeville, and I live in a development. And I said, well, Lord, why this development? And the name of the development is Waterbury. And he said, because I buried Israel's enemies in water. It was October 1st I moved. That was the 40th week of the year. And he said, it's a new life for you. And I just want to share with you, this is the 40th week of this year. Today is the end of it. And so believe God for a new life. He has so much in store for you. I actually am part of Bethel Cleveland, part of the prophetic team over there. And so I know God's goodness. I know that he loves you and he cares for you. And all the things that you're carrying in your heart right now, he knows and he's going to answer those. Just trust him and keep your eyes on him.
That's good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey, who here, you know, just needs some financial breakthrough in your life? Look, I'm not promising anything, but we're just going to, like, pray for things, right? Who needs breakthrough, right? Yeah. You know, we're going to pray for you. Like, a couple years ago, my wife and I, we had $110,000 of student loan debt, and it was, like, burying us, man. Like, and it was just, like, it was hard for us to dream because of our future, because we just kept thinking about this. And so, very similar, we just believe, like, you know, okay, we know you can do this, God, right? I mean, we know you can just erase it. I wasn't even asking for more. I just wanted that gone. And so we just had a group of friends that just believed for us. And we just, like, we were praying one day. And 2 weeks later, I had a buddy who came out to visit us when where we were living at the time. And he says, huh. He's like, it's kind of interesting, but God's been telling me that I'm supposed to pay off your student loan debt. Right? Yeah? That's awesome. Look, I don't know. I just know it was a mountain in front of me. There's no guarantees here, but let's just pray for it. Raise your hand again if you need financial breakthrough. Will you come up here and just pray?
I really felt that, and I actually felt it for the church. I felt it for your church. I felt that there's a there's been an assignment on your church for the financial, and so we're going to just break that in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. We just declare and we decree in this area a free flow of the provision of the living God. And God, I thank you now for every need in this house, God. You are the provider, God. And I thank you, God, that you are releasing that provision now. I cancel every assignment of the enemy on every person in this place that is in need, Father. And I declare the works of the Lord in your life in Jesus' name. And I just want to give you a testimony of a man that I prayed for a couple weeks ago. He was like at wit's end. He didn't know how he was going to have this provision. He was actually with BSSM over at the Cleveland, Bethel Cleveland. And we prayed for him. And he came back to me last week, and I said, well, how's it going? He said the day he went home, this guy called him up, he hadn't talked to in years, and said, a few weeks ago, the Lord told me to give you $1,000, but I didn't obey him at that time, but I'm going to obey him today. And so I say to you, those things that you've been holding on to, don't think that God has stepped back. He's already assigned it, and we just release it in the name of Jesus, that provision from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We release the vessels that it's flowing through now in the name of Jesus. And I expect miracles, financial miracles, to come forth in your church in the name of Jesus.
Bless you. Bless you. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I want just, if you wouldn't mind, just like yelling out a word of thanksgiving, not a sentence, not a paragraph, just a word, like just something that you're thankful for. Just yell it out right now.
Okay. So the people who are in my church know I'm not shy or anything, but you know, when he was calling out body parts, just like some body part, all I could think of was of a broken heart. And I don't know who this is for, but I'm a testimony, and I have had a miracle in my life, and God has healed my broken heart, and I know that it's a miracle when he heals a broken heart, a broken marriage, or if you feel like, so as we were, you guys were all praying for arms and legs, and I was, all I could see was, as I was praying, was this broken heart, but it was like, one part of it was like, it was an upside down heart that was like bandages on it. And he's like, no, I'm not going to heal it with bandages. It's going to be whole again. Yeah. And it's just, you're going to have a new beginning and you're going to find love if that's what you're looking for. I know that's what you're looking for because that I know that.
Yeah.
And you will find it again. It's a miracle. God can do it. It may not be with that same person, but it's going to be, you're going to be in love again, and he's going to heal your heart.
Yeah, Jesus, you are good. Jesus, you tell us that your spirit is an encourager. So right now, I pray that you just go into the depths of the hearts here, Lord, and just start encouraging. Will you tell everyone in this room what you think of them? make it personal. Jesus, you tell us your word is a healing word. Speak a healing word over us, God. I know that there's probably a group of people here that want prayer, so we're going to stick around our ministry team, and we're just going to be available to pray for you guys. It could be for the same stuff that you've already been prayed for, but let's see.
Thank you guys for coming. I know it was God ordained, and I just want to share something real quick. When Rhonda and I went to California, it was kind of interesting because from the moment she stepped out of the car, it was like she was walking on clouds. And I was not. I mean, like, I felt the presence of God immediately, but she just got doused, didn't you? You just got doused. Like, just something poured out on her. But for me, it was kind of like a time release capsule. Like, God gave me this big capsule, and it released over time, and it's still releasing. And so I think I just share that because I believe some of you tonight got doused and it opened your whole world, your whole way of thinking, and you'll never be the same. From this night forward, you'll never be the same, right? But others of you will look at those people and go, wow, I wish I'd gotten that, because I kind of was a little jealous that Rhonda got it, and I didn't, you know. But God knows me. See, I'm a processor. He made me to be a processor, so it's okay. Others of you got a time release capsule tonight, and you are going to start thinking differently, and it's going to come out in little bits. Like, and when it happens, you're going to go, oh wait, that's not me. That must be God, because it's so different than what I usually think or usually say, or usually it's different from how I respond. And so just embrace whatever God wants to do in you, whether it's a dousing or a time release capsule, just embrace what he wants to accomplish in your heart, okay? And then one more thing before I pray a prayer of benediction, those of you who need to leave can leave, and those of you who want prayer, come on up and get prayer. And I think somebody in this room, when we were singing that song about spirit break in, I felt like there was one person at least that said, I'm going to break down. Like, you fear a breakdown. You're really afraid that you're going to have a breakdown. And I just want to encourage you to come up and get prayer, because here's the thing. If you let Jesus break in, you will not break down. Just let Jesus break in, okay? You don't have to be afraid of a breakdown, because Jesus wants to come in and break in. And when he does, it will be that whole heart like Stephanie talked about. It won't be bandages and all busted up. It'll be whole and healthy and beating and alive. God, we thank you for what you've accomplished here tonight and what you're going to continue accomplishing in the days to come. Lord, I thank you for every person who came out hungry for you, that you have a way of satisfying each of us and yet wanting more. I love that about you. And I thank you for it. And I pray a blessing over the team from Watershed Church, Lord. I pray a blessing over their church, that it will continue to grow and become just what you created it to be. I thank you for every team member who came out tonight, Lord, for Tim and Brittany and every single team member, that you will just pour back into them everything they've poured out on us tonight. God, I thank you for them and the way they've encouraged my heart and the rest of these hearts, Lord. And I just pray that you would pour that right back on them as they've poured it out on us, that you would pour that back on them, Lord, in ways that we can. Thank you, God. Amen. Come on up for prayer if you need prayer. Don't be shy.